Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Hope you're all well. Listen, I did a podcast last week with one of the most amazing voices and talents in the industry here in Australia, especially. The man, the myth, is Mike Goldman. Now, Mike used to be the main guy for Big Brother here in Australia. He did a lot of stuff, and you'll recognize his voice if you are Australian. If you are anywhere else in the world, well, then let me offer you the opportunity to joining myself and Mike in what is a podcast about cryptocurrency. It's lighthearted, it's good fun, and I tell you what, if you don't fall in love with the man at that moment, then you never will. Be sure to subscribe to his podcast as well. Have a look there. It's called On The Mic, and you can actually go through and see a bunch of other interviews he has done with some very interesting people all over the place. So guys, sit back, relax, and enjoy this podcast. Have a great day.
Hello, my name is Mike Goldman, and welcome to On The Mic, the crypto show. Cryptocurrency, what is it? People are becoming millionaires, in some cases billionaires, overnight. And so many people out there are jumping on at the last minute and thinking they're going to make a fortune and losing a fortune. So I've been following the crypto space a little bit for quite some time. Haven't really put a lot of money into it because I don't completely understand it. And I thought it's a great opportunity to meet someone been recommended to by a mate from the 60 Minutes program, Tom Steinfort, and he is here with us right now. It is Craig Cobb from Trader Cobb.
G'day guys, how are you?
Hey mate, thanks, welcome to the show.
Yeah, cheers, appreciate it.
And Crypto World, how's it treating you?
Oh.
And how the hell did you get into it?
Oh, how's it treating me? I'll answer that one first. It's treating me like a cruel mistress. It's a lot of fun, but a lot of work. You know, there's a saying in crypto, you know, what happens in a week usually happens in a year. Traditional markets. Yeah. So it's a 24/7 market, like a literal 24/7
market. Stock market on steroids.
Yeah, it is, mate. I mean,
are you scared to go to sleep?
No, I can't wait to go to sleep. But no, look, when you look at traditional markets like stocks and shares, you've 5 days a week sort of shuts down when the market shuts down. Whereas, you know, with foreign exchange, you've got 5.5 days a week, 24 hours a day. With cryptocurrency, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So it's flat out, mate.
Well, there's a lot of people out there who are confused about it. Some people have no idea about it. So I'm just going to cut to the chase and do the basics first at the start of the show. And because you'll explain it so much better than I could. And then I want to go a little bit more in depth. I want to talk about different coins. I want to talk about ICOs. But let's start with the basics. So people who are watching this for the first time know nothing about the blockchain, know nothing about Bitcoin. They've read a little bit in the newspaper and they thought it was a load of crap that you might win off a video game. Let's explain it.
I'll try and make it in a nice, you know, easy way to understand. Effectively, it's a new marketplace. So you know, the best way to describe it is, think about the internet.com. Okay, yes, we saw it boom. Yes, we saw it bust. And funny, when people talk about the .com, it's immediately followed by the boom and bust.
Yeah.
And so in that respect, markets evolve in that way. They do tend to boom, then they bust. Then things like Google, Yahoo, eBay, all these bigger businesses that are around that have a legitimate use case emerge in that space. Now, we're seeing this in cryptocurrency, and I like to... When I consider what I do, I talk more about blockchain than cryptocurrency, because for some reason the connotation with cryptocurrency is you're a bit mad. Do you think the whole world's going to be working with, you know, paying with bitcoins and whatnot? Maybe not. No, but will it play a part? Yes. So it's a new technology. It's a new space. Blockchain effectively is an online ledger. So a really good description or understanding of how it's actually used is something like voting. And there's an amazing Australian ICO that's happened. It's a company there called Horizon State. Plug to them for free. There you go,
I'm
boys.
Write that one down.
Yeah, Horizon State. HST is the Epic Code.
State.
Yeah, so Jamie's a good mate of mine now. And effectively, and I use it because, A, it's a great product. It's Australian. I think it's doing really, really good things. But also, amazingly, it does sort of encapsulate what blockchain's for. It's an online ledger. It's there. It can't be manipulated. It can't be hacked. It's a fact.
Yeah.
So they're doing voting. So you remember the plebiscite, how much of a wonderful experience that was?
And
how
costs,
we didn't
costs
waste any money.
It costs billions to do it. It's a joke.
Okay, so imagine taking $120 million and making it, say, $2 million. And we don't have to recount it. There's none of this crap around it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And we can do it from our smartphones.
Is that going to happen? Is that the future? Is that what we're going to be using the blockchain for as well as cryptocurrency?
Absolutely. And this is the sort of technology that it is. It can revolutionize. It can speed up. It can cut costs. And it really is, it's changing the way that the world doesn't just do business, it votes, it operates, and we actually transact. So it's a completely, you know, world-changing technology, very disruptive technology in a lot of businesses, i.e. banks. Think of when Uber came in, right?
Yeah.
Taxi, right? I got kids, yeah? I'm in Bondi, get to the airport. I also had an office in Double Bay. I go to Double Bay. At 3:30 in the afternoon trying to get a taxi to Double Bay, no chance. Because
ridiculous.
You call up, you order it, and they won't come. Because it's a $10 fare, I'm not doing that. Uber steps in, boom, they're there every single time I want it. Why was Uber able to take market share? Because taxi wasn't doing what we wanted. It's the only way you can dominate.
And why is Taxify taking over from Uber? Because Uber is taking too much money from the taxi drivers, so they've cut it back and made the fares cheaper, and now Taxify is taking over. So it's basically, they're a disruptor. Would you say they're disrupting the banks?
Yes.
Traditional
system. Certain, like obviously Horizon State being blockchain for voting, that's not going to disrupt the banks because it's got nothing to do with the banks. But there are other technologies like, you know, a big area in banking is the unbanked. So when I say the unbanked, like I was looking at investing in a coconut water company in the Philippines. And part of that business was actually banking the unbanked. So these guys climb the trees, get the coconuts, they get X amount in their hands, and they go and blow it on whatever they blow it on, come home, and the kids get whatever's left. The food on the table is whatever's left. Now, that doesn't help the society. That doesn't help that area to grow and become, you know, less of a third world country and move up the ranks because it just doesn't go anywhere. These people that are not banked require on cash, and a lot of things can happen. Theft, robbery, all this sort of stuff. If these people that are not banked, because they've got to go to a bank, they've got to open up an account, they're rural, there's a whole lot of hurdles. We think it's really easy because we live in the world that we live in, right? We are pretty tech savvy. The very fact that I've got a microphone in here and the very fact that these people are watching it explains that they have a little bit of tech savvy about them. If you're a coconut farmer in the middle of the Philippines, you don't. So the unbanked is a huge thing. These banks were really keen to work with us because, or work with this company because I didn't end up investing, work with this company to get those people banked. So there's a disruption in the fact that fees for banks.
But the bank fees are a joke.
Right.
And you always see fees. You're like, why don't I just pay $380 just to have an account for a year when they've got my money in the bank
and they're using it. Profiting from it.
The banks have absolutely been screwing us for too long. And is this going to make the banks more competitive, or are the banks just going to say, fuck it, and just put our interest rates up? Who knows?
Well, look, it comes back down to the way business works, right? It's supply and demand, and it's competition. So we talked about Uber, we talked about Taxify, we talked about these disruptive technologies.
Competition.
If we've got something that the bank, we go, righto, bank, I'm going to use this. The banks are going to go. And what they're doing, I'm seeing in this space, like some of my payment gateways have been shut down because I'm high risk.
Yeah, happened to me too, like trying to buy Bitcoin and banks have said, no, sorry, you can't do that. Can't put money into that Bitcoin exchange. Anyway, let's get into that more. But this is just at the start of this. I just want to get into the basics and explain how the blockchain works. So if someone's traditionally been using a banking system their whole life, where you go to the bank with your card, you get your money out, or you go to the ATM, where is all your Bitcoin stored in this blockchain, and how does it exist? Can you briefly explain to us how people have these computers all over the world that are linked, and that's where the ledger system is contained, and how do they get paid, and how do they have a share? Because then it starts to make sense to people that don't understand.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I got a bit passionate about that. It'll go back to what you actually asked me, hey? So basically, the way it works and the way it's unhackable, that's a big thing, right?
Yeah.
If there's a data storage, and it's all the Commonwealth Bank, let's use as an example, all their data's housed wherever they house it. I mean, I'm sure they've got lots of different points, but this is in one central place, which means that it can be hacked. That's why they spend so much on security, right? Now, if that data is held not in one space, but held in millions of computers all around the world, simultaneously, you need to hack all those millions of computers around the world. It's an honest, transparent system that cannot be hacked.
Yeah.
Exchanges, on the other hand, can be hacked. So if you were to buy Bitcoin, that transaction goes, and I use Bitcoin because it's the most common one, that transaction goes on the blockchain. You get a series of numbers and codes, and that is your transaction, right? Don't lose that transaction because that's where it lives. You lose your you lose it.
But and it's stored in
it's
exchanges.
Stored.
Or you can store it in a cold wallet.
On a cold wallet.
A Trezor and Nano wallet.
Yeah, I mean, you can choose a Nano wallet. You can have a Trezor wallet, which I use. You can even have it on a MyEther wallet, which is an online thing. And basically, that's just a record of the blockchain, your little snapshot of that.
So if we're confusing you and you're losing the plot just a little bit here, trying to get your head around
simplify
this.
Simplify it like this, okay? It's essentially a block. So here's one transaction, here's another transaction, here's another transaction, so on and so forth forever and a day. It can't be hacked because those one transactions don't sit in one place. They are managed across a massive computer network around the world. These are your miners that you know get paid a little bit to do this.
So the miners are the people who own those computers, and for every transaction, they get a little blink of a Bitcoin for doing a Bitcoin transaction. That's
exactly
how they make their money, and that's why they have their computers
that's
there.
How the ecosystem exists, all right? So as it grows, there's more computers, it makes it even more harder to hack. Now, because of all those little blocks, one of those is your transaction. You've got to keep the details of that transaction to yourself. Now, whether you do that on a internet wallet, whether you do that on the exchange, or whether you do it in a cold storage wallet, they're your options.
That's your private key.
That's your
and
private
you don't want anyone to see a private key. Otherwise, that's like them just, they can use that to take your money and they can buy whatever they like on the internet.
Correct. Or they can just steal all your Bitcoin.
But you can buy so many amazing things already. Like there's people selling houses with Bitcoin. I went to buy a new laptop online the other day and a guy said he took Litecoin. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's just bizarre. So it is becoming more and more used all over the world. Okay, so I think we've covered it. Basically, just want to go through what an exchange is, where you can actually store your private key and where you can buy with US dollars or Australian dollars, depending on what exchange it is. You use different money from all over the world. You can buy different coins. Some Australian ones only have like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, but you have to travel overseas, well, online, travel overseas to be able to buy other coins. You mentioned those sites can be hacked, and there has been in the past a site being hacked. And the way to protect yourself is with one of those offline wallets to store your private key.
Correct.
Just briefly on the one that was hacked, is that going to happen a lot more?
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, there's risks associated with everything. The difference between a bank, because I mean, who has had their bank account have some sort of fraudulent transaction? Nearly everybody's got a story about that. Yeah. The difference between bank hacking and crypto hacking or exchange hacking is that the banks will tend to give you money back. Whereas if it happens on an exchange, they sometimes do, but it depends on the size of the hack. Now, they get hacked frequently. The bigger ones don't tend to get hacked. So the way it works is, the way it generally works, as you described, you can buy Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, you know, the majority of your top three to six on most of the larger exchanges. And an exchange is where let's say I want to buy $10,000 of Bitcoin to then buy, you know, $1,000 of each of these smaller other tokens or coins as well. $10,000 goes in, I buy, let's say, one Bitcoin, all right? From that Bitcoin, I can then send that Bitcoin or a fraction of that Bitcoin, because you don't have to buy one full Bitcoin. That's another thing that people don't understand. You can buy 0.1, you can buy $100 of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And that opens up another kettle of fish, which is brilliant, and I'll go into that later. But effectively, I can then send from the exchange that Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever it may be, to another platform. And it's like a brokerage account. So if I'm, we'll stick with, you know, traditional markets. If I've got money in a Commonwealth Bank account, and I hate to give them press, but they're the biggest. If I was to sort of want to, you know, move it into a ComSec stockbroking account, my money goes from my bank account to my brokerage account, and then I can buy one of the, you know, plethora of different Australian securities that I wish to purchase. Okay. It's similar, and that's all ASIC regulated. That's how that world rolls. In cryptocurrency, it's the same. So the way to understand it, it's the same concept. Money goes into Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes to wherever you want it to go, and they're your brokerage platforms. Now, different platforms offer different tokens and coins. So that's where you can then look to build your portfolio. Without going into too much detail, because we could go in a bloody rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. But, and that's the thing with this. You can just go diving down, and you can open so many crazy caves of crypto talk. So
it doesn't take too long to learn, though. I will say that.
It doesn't. And you described it very well. And I think to a lot of people who are just getting started and getting their head around it, I think that definitely helps. A funny story about my little nephew. He's actually the person who introduced me to cryptocurrency.
Yeah, right.
He's 15, or when he was 15. He's 16 now. But he really, really wanted this computer. And the way he did it, he borrowed money off his mum, and it had a really high-powered hard drive, which was great for playing video games. And that high-powered hard drive could also mine cryptocurrency.
Yep.
So he mined cryptocurrency on this computer until he had enough money. He paid back his mum, and he didn't mine anymore. And I'm like, dude,
keep mining.
I've been hearing about this. I'm going to buy you banks of computers. We're going to have them in rooms, fill them, and we're going to make billions. And he's like, no, man, I just want to play games. I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
This could be your career.
Yeah.
So many young people are getting their head around it, and a lot of old people are just going, nah, it's a fad. It's not going to work. Why is it going to stick around? And what would you say to the older generation out there that would make them change their mind?
Mate, first of all, you've just hit the nail on the head as to why I think this market's so exciting. Two things. One, it's, as you just described, like when I was 8 or 9, I sold chocolate-coated snakes at my rugby club. Because I wanted to buy a boat and I wanted to buy a drum kit and I wanted to buy heaps of stuff that I couldn't buy because I was 8. I couldn't get a job, right? So that cryptocurrency is becoming that to a certain extent for a lot of kids, especially gaming competent kids, because they're so, I mean, look, I I'm 33 now, about to turn 34 in 3 days.
Cool.
But like my generation and the entrepreneurs of my generation, what we did was physical stuff. We didn't have the outlet and the smarts, the training and the outlet like technology does now. So it's opening up more doors. The most exciting thing for me is that, I mean, I'm still in that bracket. You're somewhat close to that bracket.
Yeah. A little bit older.
And what it's done is that we often see people, older men and women, making decisions that we have to live with for longer. Brexit's the perfect example of that. Old people voting for young people's futures.
Yeah.
Are we sick of that?
Yeah.
Yes, we are. What this is actually doing is not just bringing power back to us, it's giving us a voice and it's giving us a consumer spend and investment platform that we didn't normally have. And I'm very excited about this because they never teach you in school how to be an entrepreneur. They never teach you in school how to run a business. They never teach you in school how to manage money. Mm. They teach you how to be a worker, and that's all good, right? It is what it is. Mm. But this opens up a doorway for us to have young people with interest get in. Mm. And the best thing about it is, think about, when I was 16, I started buying shares at 16, but I didn't do it directly. Okay. I had other people, adults, do it for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. Mm. There was no way in.
Yeah.
Now, even 18, 19, you got $1,000 that you've made and, you saved $1,000 and, you want to do something with it. Are you going to pick up the telephone and speak to a stockbroker?
No.
No, because they're probably going to belittle you.
Mm.
And you're intimidated because these are big
that,
people.
The other thing that stockbrokers do, which really pisses me off, is they push stocks that they're going to make a cut from. And they push stocks that stockbrokers have been given money from different organizations to say, hey, you sell enough stock, we'll give you a cut. And then when you realize that stock turns to shit, they sell it and they get a cut from that as well. So I fucking hate stockbrokers. And I've been ripped off by a couple in the past because back when that mining boom was happening, I had a little bit of money I wanted to put into it and wanted to try and do something with it rather than just having it sitting in a bank. And I took it to this asshole in Brisbane and he's like, oh no, mate, you got it all wrong. Oh, you need to invest in this company and that company. And trust me, I know people with a lot of money who've been doing this for a very long time. You can't just put it all into BHP and like, I would have done really well, but I listened to this dick.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where there's a lot of mistrust in the stockbroking industry and in the stock market, because one, people don't know the balls of it and where it's all happening, and things like that can happen as well when it comes to stockbrokers. But and the cryptocurrency side of it, I think people really have to do their own research.
Absolutely. You're responsible.
And if you are responsible 110% yourself for every single cent that you put in. And if you just hear some bloke on the bus talking about a coin and you put some money in thinking you're going to make it and you're spewing because you got ripped off, well, you deserve to be ripped off, because I invested in, I'll just tell you from my experience, I when I first bought some Bitcoin after my little nephew made some, I thought, I'm going to get out of this. So I made a little bit and I started having a look into certain ICOs and a friend of mine said he'd invested in one called C20. Do you hear of that one?
Yeah, that's an Australian...
A South African guy.
but it's the one. Is it the one where it's like a it's index like Van, fund?
It's like Vanguard.
Yeah, okay.
Like the S&P 500.
Yeah, it's an index fund. Yeah, that's
these
right.
These guys invest in the, yeah. in the top 20 coins, yep. and that double net went really well. But I actually reached out online to speak to the people that were running it, and I watched the people that were starting up this coin. And I spoke to them and I said, and you know, how are you doing this? Are you willing and interested in doing interviews on shows? Mm. And these guys were everywhere. And you know, you trust your gut instinct, and you also do a bit of research in the people that are starting a coin, and then you think about investing Absolutely. Into it rather than just jumping on the bandwagon, because a lot of people are doing that.
Oh, mate, a huge amount of people are doing that. I mean, to be honest with you, like tradercob.com, which is my education stuff, it's a passion project. I mean, sure, it's a business. Don't get me wrong. I want to make some money with it. But I mean, at the end of the day, when I came into crypto, because I've been trading for 11 years in traditional markets, I got a bit over it, you know. And crypto came about. I was introduced to it in 2013, sort of kicked it out the back door because I'm like, I need volatility. I need volume. And there wasn't either. Now it's there. And I was looking around, researching, going, you know, who are the people to follow? Who are the people to respect? Who do I learn from here? And whilst I was looking at how my strategies played out in the market, because I watched for a while until I felt like, okay, game on. We're in here. We are bang on the money.
Cool.
But, you know, there's a lot of shit out there.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, right? One of my sayings is even a turkey can fly in a hurricane. Right now, there's a lot of turkeys that are flapping around because the wind is... Up they go.
Yeah.
Now, the issue I have is that all people on the... I'm a technical trader, so I read charts. You know, I'm looking at charts, all this sort of stuff, and I've got checklist strategies around that. So it's very disciplined, very logical, and very straightforward. The way I trade is the way I talk to you. You know, I'm not trying to be the smartest dude in the room, yeah? So basically what it comes down to is I saw people that were doing all this crap, stuff that I learned in year one and year two at you know, becoming a trader myself, and I'm like, damn, they're making money because even a turkey will fly in a hurricane.
Yeah.
Once this market goes into a consolidation period, so the NASDAQ didn't exist. When the NASDAQ existed after the dot-com and all the tech stuff happened, it's now a normal market. It fluctuates relatively normal apart from at the moment with the crash that's going on.
Yeah.
Massive volatility. But for the most part, it tracks and trades fairly... You know, like a normal market. Cryptocurrency doesn't. It's in its growth phase. It's in its infancy. It goes nuts. Now, my concern was all these people that are learning bad habits now, make money now, but once it levels out, they're going to be exposed.
Yeah.
Because 95% of the people that are trading crypto right now, it's just a statistic.
Yeah.
But I believe couldn't go and do what I do. I can go on if cryptocurrency disappears tomorrow, I'll go back to trading FX, commodities, all that sort of stuff because my strategies are robust. They've been honed over years. These people, their strategies will not work in that market. So I'm trying to empower people. If you're going to start properly, manage your risk and know what the right thing to do is. And that's the whole point of what
Don't
I'm trying to
do. Don't believe
the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Like if you see an ICO, which is an independent coin offering, where someone is launching this new coin that's going to do all these amazing things, look at their business model and see, okay, well, they're spending 90% of the money that they make
on marketing.
You know that is going to be a scam. But if they're spending like 60% or 70% of the money on staff and people who are there that are building networks and working with different companies to expand their business as a part of that coin, then you know that you might be onto something.
Yeah, there's the again, to try and keep it relatively simple, because this like I say, it's a rabbit hole, man. Like we can go where we could end up, you know, on the moon. That's where our conversation could go. To keep it simple, coming back to the research side of it for your viewers, there's three things that I typically look for. One, which is the most important to kick it off, is does this need to be on the blockchain? Or are we just saying dentist on the blockchain?
Yeah.
ICO, money.
Dentacoin. I saw that the other day. My girlfriend's a dental nurse, and she's like, oh, what's that Dentacoin? I should invest in that, shouldn't I?
Your teeth on the blockchain.
Because people are just going, oh, yeah, because it's got the word dentist in it, and I'm a dentist. And a lot of these companies that are launching these coins, they actually have nothing to do with a real business.
Correct.
And there are some who do actually have things that they do in the real world.
Yeah. So three things, yeah? Yeah? So three things. One, does this need to exist? Like, is this going to shift anything? Is this going to change anything? Is this going to make anyone's world better? Is this going to help us as a human race when I say human race, is it going to make driving a car better? Is it going to make booking a holiday cheaper, faster, more efficient, and better options? These sorts of things, you've got to think about, is there a real world case for this? Or is this just bullshit? Second thing you need to consider is, does the token have any significance? Like, is it Do they need to have the token, or is this just a money grab? Like, does it need to be used for this project to work? And thirdly, is your team. If you can get those three things, and look, you're not going to do that in your first one. Research, learn, find good sources of information, read, learn. It takes a bit of time, but you know, what's worth having that doesn't? Mm. You know, if you're committed to it, you'll be fine. Mm. If you just want to do a hobby, only risk a small amount. Mm. But they're the three things when it comes to investing that I look for. And I'll be honest, I'm not a blockchain expert, man. Mm. I'm not a fundamental expert in this marketplace. Yeah. I'm a technical trader, and that's what I'm really, really good at.
So you're good at reading the charts, reading the stats, doing the research, and then giving the reliable advice to your clients.
Yeah, not so much advice. Yeah. I guide by showing them a way that they can do it. Mm. At the end of the day, I never give a tip, so I don't tell people ever what to do, and I never have, never will.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. Bottom line is, I'm trying to empower people that want to be empowered. Mm. I've got the experience, I got the results, I got the track record, and I've got the voice. Mm. So those three things, if I can help somebody who's, you know, looking around,
I don't know what to do. Where do I put my money in this crypto thing?
That's right. So I'm just trying to help people. And it's not advice, and it's not telling them what to do or what they should do. Mm. It's if you would like to learn how I go about my day and how I go about trading myself, I'll give you the strategies, I'll give you the structure, I'll give you the routines, I'll give you everything I possibly can for you to make your own decisions. Because that's, you know, the old saying, teach a man a fish, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help people. I don't want them reliant on me. Mm. I don't want them reliant on anybody.
Yep.
I want them to be educated, intelligent human beings that can make their own decisions. And that's truly right, empowering.
Yeah, yeah. So what would be some of the dodgiest coins you've heard out there? Because I saw one yesterday called Pantycoin.
Oh, yeah.
And there was even stories that say, why we should be taking Pantycoin seriously? And like, they must pay people to put these stories up there. And but there are ones that sound dodgy that are a little bit creepy. Like, I've got a friend who I won't mention his name, but he's set up in Thailand, and he's launching a coin where it pays coins to models all over the world who speak to other photographers who want to speak to them. So they buy the coins and they give them to these models all over the world. And so that's something that is being utilized and used. It's actually an actual business that they're doing. Yeah. And there's a lot of other things like that. There's a few dodgy ones out there, but I know my friend's probably going to watch this. So, hey, I think it's a good idea, and I'm sure you'll make money out of it. but Dogecoin, it's even called dodgy.
Yeah.
It started on nothing. And the guy who started it,
he
sold out of it when he made 30 grand or something. He started it as a joke, but people are still putting money into it and taking it out. Why?
Why? Look, a lot of this happens in the market because the volatility, right? Mm. I mean, that's one of the things that's really concerning ASIC, and fair enough too, and a concern to the rest of the world is the volatility. Yep, I get it. As a trader, that's what I love. That's perfect for me.
Yeah,
give me a volatile market any day of the week.
Because you can figure out when it's up and when it's down. Actually, a friend of mine who lives in Thailand, who might be that same guy, but I'm not going to say, he invests a lot in cryptocurrency as well, obviously. But he changed, you know how they call them candlesticks when it's going up and going down? When it's going down, it's red. And when it's going up, it's green. But he flipped the colors because he only buys when it goes down. So when it's going down, it's green. He's going, yes, buy that. Because you want to buy when things are down. But as long as it's a good coin.
Yeah, that's right. And there's two sides to it. Mm. There you go, to the coin. You get that?
Yeah, yeah, I like that. That's good. You could have your own show.
Thank you. So basically, there's two sides to the coin. There's investing and there's trading. Mm. Now, I do both, and that's important. When there's a dip and there's a good project,
yeah
I'll buy. Any spare fiat, you know, we don't use that word very often, but if you're in crypto, you say it every day.
Yeah.
So fiat, i.e. Australian dollars, US dollars, if I've got spare fiat,
globalist confetti, as some people in the crypto space like to call it.
Yes, that's right.
Mm. So eventually, it's not going to be worth anything, is what a lot of people think.
Well, that's right. In the crypto space, open your wallet and pull out a piece of paper. Look, we got cool money. Let's be honest.
Australia, we have awesome money. Australia, we have the best money in the world in Australia.
We do. That American stuff, it's all floppy. The stuff that you get in London is too big.
And did you see... we're going off the topic for a second.
Certainly are.
But yeah, we're going down the rabbit hole. See, I tried to keep it serious at the start. But the University of Michigan just recently did a study on how much money is actually floating around, how much US dollars is floating around. And there is trillions of dollars unaccounted for, which basically says that the US has just been printing money. Mm. And it's keeping its value when really it should be losing its value because they're making so much of it. Whereas crypto, like, you only have a certain amount of Bitcoins there, a certain amount of Ethereum, a certain amount of Litecoin, and it's there. It's on the blockchain. You can see it. No one's just printing it out and handing it out like the US are.
It makes more sense.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of people think that it's going to change the world. Like I was talking to a guy at 7-Eleven in the city the other day because there's a Bitcoin ATM, and I saw these people were not taking money out of it; they're putting money into it to put it on the blockchain. And he was raving about it because he can send money to his family in India for free. Whereas if he sends it because he lives his family area in a backward in the middle of nowhere
the unbanked
place.
Sort of stuff, yeah?
Yeah, and they'd send money via, might be something like Western Union, but not Western Union, I can't remember what it was. And sometimes the money, they wouldn't know, you know, where it was. They'd get like 10, 20% of the money taken away in commissions because it's going through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 banks along the way.
Yep.
So how do you think that crypto can change the world along those lines? And what are the advantages of using it as opposed to, you know, the US dollar, for example?
Well, the first advantage is it has an intrinsic value. It, you know, the US dollar used to be powerful. It still is powerful, but for different reasons. Mm. The US dollar used to be backed by gold. So it was underpinned by something of value. That's how it started. It was a loan. You had gold and you were a miner. You brought the gold to that, you know, gold shop, whatever it was, the exchange. You'd give them your gold and they'd put it in the safe and then they'd give you a certificate saying you had this much gold. And that's how it worked. Then what these smart bankers started doing was that they started going, hang on, we can actually give it more paper than we have in gold. Ah, boom, that's how it began. So it's just gone out of control now, you know. We're in trouble, GFC. I know, let's just print more money. How's that fair? How's that fair to the rest of the world? It's not an even playing field. Mm. But what do they do? Well, you know, they have these big, you know, Americans love guns, they love being armed. They've got a lot of armament, you know. Mm. So they're underpinned by weapons, is my view, as opposed to underpinned by gold.
Yeah.
In cryptocurrency, there is not an infinite number of dollars that we can have in circulation.
Yeah.
There is a finite amount. Mm. And that represents value. That's one side of it. The second side of it is the borderless transactions. Mm-hmm. It's very quick. Bitcoin, not so much. The blockchain's quite slow.
That's going to get a bit quicker though, isn't it? Changing the nodes.
The Lightning Network, they're looking at that. It will speed up. Bitcoin has to speed up if it wants to be anything other than just digital gold.
Yeah. Store of value. So getting across borders, moving things quicker.
Quick and fast. The other side of it is the fees are minimal. Like you don't even notice them. As you said, when I lived in London, you know, I had to send money in that, and God, it cost such a fortune.
Rip off.
Massive rip off. Well, this does not rip you off. Mm. And again, you know, it brings back the control to the people that if you've got a little bit of money, even if it's $100, you can get involved in something that is bigger than what you're in right now. Whether you're a laborer, whether you're a doctor, no matter what walk of life you're at, you are able to invest into something, especially now, that is accessible. Mm-hmm. It's life-changing for many people. I'm not saying that everyone makes money because there's two sides to that coin. Again, people do lose money.
Yeah.
Education is key. But it's opening up a new world of investors. It's bringing in more people and it's making transactions we're becoming more of a global community.
And some countries around the world where their dollar isn't worth shit and their governments are corrupt as fuck, the people in those countries are turning to cryptocurrency because they can earn actual real money that's worth a lot more than their own money in the country that they're living in. And that'll help drag a lot of those countries out of poverty, I believe.
It's inflation proof. Mm. You know, we don't get faced with that because it's not central to one government. Mm. And that's where a lot of the world's woes occur. I mean, you look at corruption. Mm. Where there is massive, you know, corruption, we tend to have massive inequality, massive poverty, massive haves and massive have-nots, which cause more violence, more unsteadiness, more people to be hurting, upset, in bad positions. And who, like, realistically, we all have this ideal, right? Well, I would like to think so, that everyone can get along, everyone can have a good time, and everyone can be okay. That's not the world we live in. No. That is just not. In Australia, we're okay, but I mean, you go to certain parts of Sydney, right? And you think, how's this person living like this? Like, look at all this around us, and we can't help this person. And you know, people throw it down as, oh, they're a drug addict or they're this. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's got stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
Why can't we help these people? And that, to me, this industry, this blockchain, this technology, and this movement, there's a lot more compassion in it. It's not just a money grab. For some people it is, but I like to, like, I'll invest in projects that I think will help.
Yeah.
I don't care to make money on that. Okay. Mm. I want to support change. And this is a way that I can do that. And we as a society can do that. Mm. And you know what? We might even make a few bucks on the way. Mm. So it's a win-win. I just don't see the, like, I'm right into this, right? Like, mm. I've gone from traditional markets doing that day in and day out, mm. where it is just, you know, hammer and tong. I've always traded for myself, run my own show type thing. Never really gone down the banks or hedge funds. I've had a little fund in London, but it was always me because I wanted to not be, have to be in that 9-to-5 crap. Mm. Sorry if you are. It's just the way I just don't want to do that.
Yeah, fair enough. Me too. I think we're all like that.
We're all like that.
Yeah, we all want that life. We all want your life.
Well, if you want mine, I'm pretty bloody busy at the moment. But you know what I mean? Like, it's. I think it can change a lot of the way that we think, the way that we do, and the actions of us can help others. And that's the real pull for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go a little bit down the rabbit hole for a second. Who is Satoshi Nakamura?
And he apparently
Nakamoto. He invented the blockchain and he put us all in this mess. and so, because there's a few conspiracy theories going around as to who he is. There's an Australian guy that said it was him and he didn't want to talk about it ever again. There's rumors that it's actually been set up by the deep state so they can take cash away from everybody because everyone's using cash for those untaxable jobs. What do you think?
That's the million dollar
question.
God, I mean... Look, I'll tell you what I think. I don't know. I'll tell you what I think. I don't care.
Yeah. This is a great idea. It's a great invention. If it was Elon Musk or Bill Gates or whoever.
And guess what?
My fingers crossed it was one of them.
Bill Gates is behind it. He's saying, I mean, this whole unbanked thing, like he's going on national television. Yeah. He's saying positive things about it. And he's right. The technology does need to improve. We all know that. I mean, look at cat.com. It was worth heaps in the boom. Cat.com does nothing.
It does nothing.
But it's the birth of a new industry. So, like, I don't give two hoots about who invented it. Mm. I'm just glad that they did.
It's good.
And look, I mean, if I invented Bitcoin, I wouldn't want you to know who it was either.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. People would be wanting your ass. Did you know that some of the biggest holders of Bitcoin are the FBI?
I don't know if they still hold.
Yeah.
Because I know they confiscated a lot... through various different avenues. One of the funny things, well, it's not funny, it's a joke. So not ha-ha funny, but like this is a goddamn joke funny, is that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency still has this air of corruption, money laundering.
The dark web used to buy drugs
exactly.
And that kind of stuff.
It's like, come on, wake up.
I think the US dollar is used for that too.
Oh, maybe, you know? It's, and you asked a question before about the old dogs, you know, my parents, you know, the baby boomers.
Yeah.
Guys, you made your money in property, all right? You made it hard for us.
Yeah.
We've got Bitcoin.
So. Yeah, we can't buy property in Sydney. Yeah, it's the most expensive property market in the world.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah.
And who did well from that? Baby boomers.
What young kid out there is going to be able to afford $1,000 a week rent for a one-bedroom apartment in Bondi, you know?
The guys you interviewed last time, the guys that did the smile thing.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. Nick and Alex, who own High Smile. Oh, the teeth whitening guys.
I reckon they can.
Legends.
But yeah, it is. It's like that. And, you know, we've got this opportunity now to take some control back. And I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Who created it? I don't know. Don't care. But yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some of the coins. A few ICOs that are floating around at the moment. You mentioned one called Horizon State. Is that up and running already?
That's up and running.
Yeah.
They've done very, very well. Just, again, you know, these are business people. But it's a new, I kind of call it a new wave of business people. They're socially aware and not just after making money. Gone are the days where it was just cut off everyone's head, money, 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 money. It's they're there for a reason. They want to make money. Don't get me wrong. Business is still business. Let's not be stupid about that. You know, it's not just about, you know, rainbows and lollipops. But they also want to help to have an impact on the way the world is operating at the moment. So we're seeing a huge shift. Not all of them, because there. I mean, look, it is a new industry and it's not regulated, not yet. It will be.
Mm.
And when it does come, as long as it's regulated well, it'll be wonderful for the market because we'll all know what we're playing with. Right now, there's a lot of gray areas, which, like I said to you prior to this interview, it's an area where we're trying to do the right thing, but it's very difficult without having a yellow brick road. Mm. There's a lot of new, younger generation people because it's technology and, you know, we're the generation of technology and the younger people, you know, 10 years younger than me.
Mm.
These are the people that are right at the forefront of the technology.
Mm.
It's business is being done differently. So Horizon State's right there leading that charge. Another company called Power Ledger, which is the sharing of, you know, we live as neighbors or whatever. I can sell my power to you because I got solar panels.
Oh, wow, that's great.
It's a brilliant idea.
So you would do that with the coins?
Correct.
People are buying and selling power off each other with coins.
That's right.
Well, we've got to do something about the fucking power industry. It's such a ripoff.
Isn't it just so, like, isn't that just a like a no-brainer?
It makes sense. And I've got solar panels on my roof. And like, my bill hasn't dropped at all, but I'm pumping energy off the grid when I'm not using it, you know, back onto the grid. Yeah. And like, what, am I getting some of that back? Not a lot.
Yeah.
So Power Ledger sounds amazing.
It is.
So we're going to talk about a few of these different coins, but just want to remind everyone, you got to do your own research.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in getting involved in cryptocurrency, please do not take anything whatsoever we've said in this entire podcast as gospel. We want you to find out and follow your own road and do your own research. And if you find something and you've done the research and you believe in it, by all means, go for it. But these are just a few things that I've spotted that I've found an interest in out there in the crypto world. And I'm going to ask you about them. And if there's a couple that you might have heard about that were interesting, and I'm not paid by any of these companies or anything like that. And obviously the big ones. And I want to kind of understand the big ones a little bit better. And I'm sure that a lot of other people out there as well will want to try and understand them as well. So like Litecoin, we'll go through Ethereum and a couple of others, and then I'll talk about some little lesser known ones. So Ethereum seems to be quite popular. It's a decentralized contract. You want to explain it?
Yeah, so it's basically, how do I put this? So it's a new, like Bitcoin's got its own sort of thing going. I'll make it very simple. Ethereum's got its own way of doing stuff. So if I've got a great idea that incorporates the blockchain and I want to be on the blockchain, I need an in to that blockchain. I can build a business on the Ethereum network, okay? And there's NEM as well, there's a few others. Ethereum is probably, without having the statistics, I would say Ethereum is probably the most popular, the ERC20 token. So you can build onto that block and create a business around that. Now that's why it's the second most popular token out there. And I believe that it has the potential to go on to be one of the largest companies in the world as this space evolves and grows. I mean, you consider the fact that blockchain now, I don't know the market cap today, but it's probably around 400 to 600 billion. Apple's valued at 880 billion. The Nasdaq's 8.8 trillion.
Yeah, so we're still nothing at the moment.
We're nothing. So the value of Ethereum is sort of underpinned by its use case and the companies that work below it, that work inside of that ecosystem. So that's sort of how it works. So each ICO or each, because it's not all of them start with an ICO. If you want to work within that ecosystem, you've got to effectively use one that's already there or create your own. Now it's very complex to create your own, and why would you create your own when you've got effectively Vitalik or however you want to say his name, he is the father of Ethereum. Now Ethereum is like the Google of cryptocurrency in the sense that it has the best developers, the best brains, the brightest people. So why would you go and try and create your own when you know the best of the best are in this space?
Yeah,
so it's kind of like a, you know, plug yourself into that, use their resource to get on the blockchain to make it work. So there's different ecosystems. Ethereum is probably the most frequently and commonly used to get you on and therefore in the ICO. So you, if you're going to do an ICO, you've got to have Ethereum in a wallet address, so cold storage or MyEther wallet, and then you give that address to, you log yourself in, so boom, your smart contract's there, and then you send your Ethereum, 5, 6, whatever Ethereum you want, to their address, and now you're locked in. Then when the tokens come to market, they come back to your wallet. So it's got to be compatible with a Ethereum address.
So Ethereum has a use, it works. Bitcoin, we talk about Ethereum and how people who work there are the best minds in the business. They're great programmers. I've heard a couple of people say they don't agree with who's running Bitcoin at the moment, doesn't think it's the best team. How do you think it's going?
They need to scale. They need to scale. So like with any business, you know, you need to scale if you're going to grow. Bitcoin's issue is the time it takes to transact. It's not quick and it's highly expensive compared to other options. Now, again, you know, talking about Vitalik, he is pretty much the godfather of crypto because there is no Mr. Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So there's only one face to turn to, and that brings a level of leadership and confidence. So Bitcoin is kind of like herding cats, And Ethereum is like with Vitalik, that there's actually a man at the top of that, you know,
driving it, driving the battleship.
There's a face to it. So you can you can trust somebody because somebody is there to be trusted or not.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different in that respect.
And that's what you want to look for if you're looking for an ICO as well. Who's the head of it? Who's the guy leading the ship?
Who's the team?
What did he do before? And you just Google someone's name who's starting a coin, and if you see they had a used car company in Parramatta and that's all they've ever done other than starting a coin, then you know something dodgy might be going
something
on.
Something might not work.
So what's Litecoin? What's the go with that one?
Litecoin is a token created by Charlie Lee. He sold all of his Litecoin at the end of last year, I think.
That's a worry, though, when someone does that runs it all.
Oh, yeah, you might look at it like that, and many did, but his holding in it wasn't so big that it was going to crash anything. I really respect Charlie Lee because he's probably the second biggest name in crypto,
right,
as far as a legitimate name that is there. And I respect him because he's taken himself away. It's become more than I could have ever imagined. I've made more money than I could have ever dreamed of. I want to take money out of the equation now. I don't want to be linked to the financial outcome. I just want to make this work properly.
Yeah.
And that way he's unbiased when he works with other people and companies that are coming onto the system and, you know, merging, whatever it is that they're doing, because I don't know everything, obviously. But I'm not concerned that he sold it, especially from the way that I've been following him for a while. So you get a bit of a feel for the, if someone's a dickhead, they're a dickhead, right? Mm. And you work that out relatively quickly. Yeah. But Litecoin hasn't had to fork. So a fork is like Bitcoin Cash, where they try and make it faster, better, yada, yada. Mm. Litecoin is one of the few that hasn't done that.
Well, there was a dodgy thing going around on the web the other day that Litecoin was going to fork.
It may do.
And you do a bit of research into it, you find out it's just someone trying to get your Litecoin address. So be really, really careful. Do not ever show anyone whatsoever, even your mother, your dog.
No.
Don't even do it in the vicinity of a camera. Don't even show yourself unless you actually have to.
Have your tinfoil hat
private
on.
Yeah.
Just keep it on.
You've got to keep it as quiet as you possibly can because that is your cash and that is where it is kept.
And this comes back to education, man. Like if you want to be in this space, you can do really well if it continues to go the direction it is. Obviously, you can make money and you can lose money. It happens to everybody. But if you're safe, everything I do, teach, run, everything in my whole life, and even down to the business side of it, it's all about mitigation of risk.
Mm.
If you're thinking about making money, you're letting the dogs and the wolves in the back door because all you're looking is forward. You've got to make sure that everything is safe and secure.
Mm.
And if you don't know, learn it. If in doubt, stay out.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's good to just sit back, join one of those groups where all these people who are trading are doing it over and over again every day and they're making money and losing money. Just watch them. And
learn.
Just learn. Sit back, relax. One other thing that I've heard people say about different crypto coins and ICOs, is it a Darth or a Yoda? Have you heard of that? So basically they're saying is it a new coin set up by an evil banking system? or is it one that's actually trying to do some good in the world? And a lot of people would say Ripple is daft because it's got a lot of banking money behind it. Do you want to talk about Ripple for a sec?
Yeah, I'm going to get frowned upon by a few people in the community for saying what I'm going to say, but you know, I am who I am and I'll say what I believe in and that's that. I'll stand by it. But people have this ideal that maybe that, you know, this is our market and that's theirs.
Yeah.
And I don't dig that at all. Yeah. I'm an inclusive person.
Yeah.
I'm not exclusive because what makes us better? Like we're effectively, if that's the way we're going to act, we're replicating what they did.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't get that. As a business goes, I think it's a great one. Ripple was my very first investment aside from Bitcoin because it made the most sense.
Yeah.
So
why did that make the most sense? They were doing deals and I've been following them on Twitter and they're saying that they've got a deal on the road with American Express and
that's why
a few other organizations.
They've got the ecosystem for banks to plug into to transact quickly and efficiently and easily.
Mm.
But, so get this, right? Whoever put this together, I can't remember the dude's name because it's not really important to me, is like, if you can have a business that takes advantage, well, not advantage, that might be the right word, but can benefit from the current ecosystem that exists within our world called fiat, money, banking.
Yeah.
The big dogs.
Tie it together.
And you can have a token that can take advantage of the... Like, what? You're killing it. Like, what a guy. What a team. It makes perfect sense. They've hit this... They work both angles.
Mm.
I just don't get there. Like, oh, we want to keep it decentralized, and like, I'm all for that. But I mean, it gives, it's an inclusive environment that I'm after, not just a we are over here. With
that's a lot of the
unicorn
geeks.
Shirts
they were there first. We were here first. Why can't they come in and take over our world with their big globalist money?
Yeah.
And a lot of people like that are thinking that the highs and the lows are controlled by, you know, the deep state and people who have got a lot of money. And we're going down the rabbit hole here a little bit, but
you are.
I am. Do you think that that the market is being controlled by a small group of people with a lot of money, because the market cap is so small in cryptocurrency at the moment?
I mean, look, I would be naive to say that I didn't think that, and I'd be naive to say that it definitely occurs, because the truth of the matter is that I don't know. I will never know. Excuse me. I do know that, you know, with unregulated spaces comes risk. As far as, yeah, people will do whatever they want to make money. People are unscrupulous. They will, you know, I've seen people go from nothing to having lots of money very quickly, and they all of a sudden change into a totally different version of dickhead than they used to be. But I've also seen it change people in a positive way. Like, it cuts both ways. Yeah. So, yeah, there is the potential for people to manipulate markets. You know, if I'm trading, I'll trade the top ones, right? Just because it's harder to manipulate a bigger market cap. If I'm trading something on a smaller market cap, less money to move it. So again, it comes back to risk. Yes, I'm aware that, I'm sure that it does happen, not because I've got any proof of it, but because this is just the way the world works. There are good guys and there are bad guys.
Do you have a pump and dump?
Absolutely not.
No.
Look, I'll trade. If I'm in a trade for an hour, 2 hours, that's not a pump and dump. Yeah. That's a trade. A pump and dump is a collective of people generally, and they go in and they like, if you're an influencer, John McAfee, for example, right?
Yeah, what's the go with that? Because he's talking up coins, they go up, he's getting a cut.
Pump and dump.
Yeah.
Pump and dump. Now, what I don't like about pump and dumps is that people get hurt. Don't know. So you get somebody who's come through, they've worked out the process of getting on exchange, buying the Bitcoin, sending it over here, and they're like, oh, they're new. They've got some Bitcoin, they're doing their thing. And they start following someone like John McAfee or some other pump and dump or some other influencer. They don't know the motives of these people. I can tell you the motives of these people. Generally, selfish. They go and say this about, I mean, there's ways to promote a project and there's ways to pump and dump. And what was happening, whether he liked it or not, was that John McAfee was pumping and dumping. And what was happening was that people would try and buy in and they would get slippage all the way up. So they might want to get in here, but they can't until here. And then it goes to here. And then everyone sells it that was in here.
Yeah.
And then they're back down here. And oh dear, they just lost 80% of their portfolio.
It's ridiculous.
There are losers in there. And
you've
got to
be careful, because there's a lot of people. This would be a good thing to talk about before we just finish up with a couple of more coins I want to talk about. There's a lot of people who've got little videos on YouTube. They're sitting on the front of their Ferrari with their shirt off, talking up different coins and how they've just made $10 million. They bought a castle and have four Lambos. I have friends who talk about that online and they've only made a few hundred bucks. Yeah. So you really got to watch out for those freaks. But you've seen a lot of people like that.
That's the whole point. I'm in this business.
Influencers, man, as they call themselves.
That's, I mean, coming back to the whole Trader Cobb thing, that is why I'm doing it. I'm sick of seeing people taken advantage of. I'm sick because, look, you don't know what you don't know. And look, it cost me a small fortune to learn to become a good trader. It cost me money in education. It cost me money in, like, and my education was losing money as well as, you know, that sort of thing. But I was very fortunate that I was able to work with some very good traders and get a disciplined, structured approach. Not just people that were, you know, standing next to Lambos with a number plate that says Prosper, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that claim to be experts, and this is where you've got to be careful. And, you know, what I say to everybody is, look, you know, if you don't get what I do, don't do it. It's that simple. You've got to find something that you understand. You don't need to know exactly how it works, but you've got to understand the logic behind what this person or people or whatever is saying. Because, yeah, they might say, hey, this algorithm trading works brilliantly because they've got a PhD in mathematics. It's not going to make any sense to me. So why would I, you know, work with them? Find something that makes sense. Spend some time learning about the people and the business and what they're doing. I mean, I put out, every day I'm putting out free content because I don't necessarily want anyone to do anything with me until they feel comfortable that they can trust me and that we can do it together. That's really important. You know, the whole thing with cryptocurrency is we lost trust in the banking system pre or post GFC. And if we have another one, if we lose trust again in whatever's going on now, because I haven't been as hands-on in this market at the moment, so I'm not quite sure around the catalyst of this collapse so far. But if we have a cataclysmic event like the subprime mortgage crisis that we saw, and blatant disregard for the everyday man, and
people have got to put their money somewhere.
Correct. And you know, these bankers are walking off back onto their yachts going, ha ha ha, and not going to freaking jail.
Yeah. Like, it's so shit.
A loss of trust goes to this market, and then we start to take control back. That could be a good, who knows what's going to happen.
But
again, I don't want to see people lose money.
We'll take control. Hey, did you see the guy who started Tron? I don't know what his name is. You know, there's a coin called Tron. And I have a few friends who invested in it. And the other day, he tweeted out all these amazing things, doing another deal. And I followed all of the comments that people were making after. And they're saying, why? What are you talking about? Why are you saying this? And then about 4 or 5 hours later, there was the biggest amount of Tron that someone had screenshot from the blockchain,
and moving.
It had just been sold straight after he said that. Because if something was going to go up after someone said something amazing, you'd want to hodl and keep your coin. And a lot of people are saying that he was just doing that so he could dump a whole shitload of it.
And that's the beauty of the transparency of the blockchain right there, man.
You couldn't find that out with the banking system
or
the stock market. You'd have no idea.
You can see the order go into level two if you're sophisticated, but you don't know who it is. Like that again, and people watch this as you become more sophisticated. You can actually watch the top wallet hold the top addresses. You don't know who owns them, but you can see the top addresses and what, you know, who they are. Now, if that address now moves 300,000 across to this one,
oh wait, so you can see the top addresses of people who hold the most of the coins on the blockchain. Wow, I didn't know that.
So therefore, you can go, oh, some big swinging dogs just, you know, sent money or sent X amount over to wherever they sent it to, or to an address. And typically when it moves, it's moving for a reason. If you're a hodler, if you're investing, if you're a long-term holder, why are you going to move it? If it's offline, you know, if it's on, if, you know, you've got it there, why would you move it unless you're going to do something with it?
Yes, right. So you can see if they just move it between wallets.
Yeah, you can see everything.
Wow.
It's a transparent system that allows
you.
There's no name to
it.
It's not like Craig Cobb did this, but you can see.
Right.
So you can kind of get it, oh, okay, well, what's going to happen here? Now, this can be negative and positive. You know, people that, if there's some good news, like if they're a major holder of the token because they're within the company and they go, right, we've got a big deal coming out. Yeah, I'm going to take some profits. Hey, fine, free market. It's cool. Do what you got to do. They're your tokens. You've built it. Well done. Let's let you bank in your success. I'm all for that. But it can also be derived as, you know, like what you just said. Oh, all this is happening. What's happening? Nothing really. Nothing specific. I'm not going to say anything specific. But really good stuff. Moon Lambos. Boof. Down. Ha ha.
Took my money. Bad luck.
Correct.
So you got to be so careful. We could sit here and literally talk for hours about this because I'm fascinated by it. I think there's an incredible future in it. And the industry needs more people like you who are telling it like it is. And I think being a salt of the earth Aussie who just says it exactly like it is what people need in this industry because there's so much bullshit out there.
Yes.
So if people want to watch your online courses or your online blog and find out more information, how do they do that? At tradercobb.com.au?
.com, not .au.
And you're worldwide.
I am worldwide. Well, that's what it is, man. It's
prestige worldwide.
That's it.
Worldwide.
Twitter, Trader Cobb at COBB for Bravo. And Twitter, Facebook, you know, the normal social channels. If you go to the website, you can subscribe to the bi-weekly free video I send out.
Yeah.
That's your first port of call. There's heaps of free stuff on the website. You know, I'm pretty accessible, so just ask me a question on any of those socials. And if I can get there, I will. I do put aside a certain amount of time for being with my community. But as you can imagine, there's quite a lot going on. But I do try and reply to every single person that comes through.
Would you ever consider doing a weekly show?
Yes, absolutely.
You kind of have to do it live though, wouldn't you? Because the market's changing so quickly.
Oh, it depends on what the topics are. I mean, look, if you're talking fundamentals, not so much. If you're talking trading, I mean, look, every day I do live videos for my network. So I've got a community. If they're on my scans, like I'll do a top 100 scan every single morning, 9 o'clock Sydney time, right? Every day, a number of my members that are at that level, they'll be there. And I'll commentate every single chart that they look at. The idea is not to give them tips, not at all. It's to show them a routine and a process that they can then sort of start to work their own out. Because trading's about routine, man. Like it's, you've got to be structured in everything you do. Like the dude that you're speaking to right now, this is Craig Cobb.
Yeah.
Hi. I am different when I'm trading to who I am now. All this happy, fun stuff, spontaneity disappears, structure comes in. You know, and that's it, zzz, laser focus. So I've had to create different personalities to be good at trading, and that was the hardest thing for me. So I'm trying to just help people to take a few steps ahead.
Well, I hope you do a weekly show, because I'd watch it, and I know a lot of other people would, and a lot of the crew have come in here to sit here and watch you talk today, because it's such an exciting space, and you got the goods, my friend, and look forward to seeing more of you on the telly and in cyberspace.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me.
Trader Cobb.
Thanks, guys.
On the mic.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out TraderCobb.com, because experience matters.